Welcome to OOBG Radio, the leading destination for the best sports and betting analysis, presented by your hosts, John, Jordan, Dave, and Brian.
Once again, welcome to OOBG Radio. This week we've got big news in the NFL. Yes, the NFL is back, and we'll be chatting about that a bit. The Hall of Fame inductees also are going to be on the agenda. Plus, Major League Baseball, some NBA news, LeBron's school, and the Big Ten. We'll be hitting that. But first, let's start off with the big news, NFL tonight. Jordan, what do you got on that? We got some...
We got Ravens-Bears tonight, 2.5-point line. This is going to be a really good game. Or at least I'm really excited that the NFL's finally back.
Yeah. I think you're just excited the NFL's back.
I don't know how big this game's going to be. Yeah, I'm not too excited about the quality of the game, but I am excited to see the Ravens and see if Lamar Jackson gets on the field, or even RG3 gets on the field.
I think it's going to be all about Lamar Jackson and RG3. I doubt Flacco suits up for this game at all.
I don't know. That would be the smart decision. And the Ravens' choice.
Trubisky, sure. I would, though, as a second-year quarterback. You want to see what he's got with his new weapons, but he might not either. What do you guys think?
I would think Trubisky probably plays. I would think RG3 plays. But usually they change the team completely at halftime, right? Or the quarterback sometimes a couple times. So everyone will get a shot, but I would think you are definitely correct. I doubt Flacco will even bother. But they got to get him in at some point, I would imagine. They don't have a ton of preseason games, right?
No, generally the third preseason game is the one that's a dress rehearsal. So you're not going to play any of your starters in the first game. In the third one, they're going to play all the way to halftime or into the third quarter sometimes.
Right, okay.
I feel like since it is a third, preseason game, the very first one, very first NFL game, I think, for this season, it being Ravens, I'm going to go for Ravens. The line... Jordan, what was the line?
It's 2.5 points. I do like the Ravens to win by more than that.
I agree. I'm going to go for that. I think that the Bears are just,
not. I don't have too much confidence in the Bears, not now and not during the season either.
I agree.
As a Lions fan, I can see that.
It's been years since I've had confidence in the Bears, right?
True, so. But anything can happen in the preseason, and let's hope that they get the field ready, right? Last year they didn't.
Two big middle linebackers. Yeah, no, you're right.
The paint was still wet on the field. we needed to get, that's probably the biggest hurdle. Yeah, we'll cross our fingers on that one. Okay, so we have the big game tonight. You were going to say something about the linebackers, right?
I was just going
to
say.
The paint is overwhelming.
Yeah, I know. The fumes are getting to them.
I was going to say that each of these... teams are sending their biggest middle linebacker of all time to the Hall of Fame. Ray Lewis and Brian Urlacher.
Oh, okay. So you're segueing. I was segueing into the Hall of Fame. Okay.
But then you went right into the pain.
Right. Yeah, that kind of ruined things. Right? Okay, I get you. All right. Then we'll get into that Hall of Fame. I'll mention a few of them. Ray Lewis, Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, Brian Urlacher, Brian Dawkins. There's a few more that those are probably the big ones, I would imagine, right?
There's the big ones. Bobby Bethard.
Yeah, Brian Urlacher is my favorite out of the group. I mean, that guy was just a tank.
A monster.
Yeah, he should be a shoe-in, quite honestly. He could probably still be playing. I think he had a couple years left in him.
He was just frustrated with the Bears.
Seems to be a trend nowadays where these players are retiring before really their time is up.
Well, they cut him. He didn't just retire. And he decided not to go someplace else, if you remember. But that was a big deal, and I did think he had something left there in the tank. Brian Dawkins, that was a good safety pick. He was so good on the Eagles for such a long time.
Now, is Terrell Owens still planning to not attend, right?
I read something about that because Moss was number one or something. He should just be happy that he's going, right?
I agree. Yeah.
He was up in Canada, remember. He was going to play for the Edmonton Eskimos. They actually cut him.
Really?
Yeah, he didn't say, I don't want to play with you. They just said, no, forget it.
He's probably still got that attitude, probably.
Yeah, he does.
Which is probably why he's second team. I mean, mm-hmm. Randy Moss really never was a locker room problem. He was a prima donna for sure, but...
Randy Moss is just an outstanding guy, outstanding player. I mean, I don't think there's many people that have any much bad to say about the guy, to be honest.
Well, history heals a lot of wounds, but...
Well, I know there was probably some people that didn't like Ray Lewis. They didn't like him when he entered the league because of his past. It was a pretty crazy past. I guess he sort of pulled things out, but I think he took somebody out when he was younger.
There was that, yeah.
Like, permanently out. So, yeah, that was not... But, you know, that was not good.
But that was never, counts has turned things around.
That was never proven, by the way.
Right.
I mean, let's get that out of the way.
That's true. That was not proven. But, and he went on to be quite the voice in the Baltimore huddle. I mean,
he was definitely a playmaker and a leader on the defense there. I mean, when he came out on the field, he made a statement.
Yeah. You know,
with his Ray Lewis dance. Did he have a name for that?
Look, the best thing about him is he won Trent Dilfer a Super Bowl.
Wow.
Trent Dilfer.
Say that 3 times fast.
Well, I mean, along with the people that got in and named to the Hall of Fame and got put on the ballot, there was also some notable snubs.
Notable.
Who do we have that didn't quite make it that you think that should have been in there?
Isaac Bruce is the name that really stands out to me. I mean, as far as wide receivers go, he was fantastic. Won a couple Super Bowls there with Kurt Warner, with the Rams, playing with Torrey Holt, that greatest show on turf. I'm sure you guys remember that.
Mm-hmm.
He could have gone if it hadn't have been for T.O. and Randy Moss. He probably would have. And the fact that he came a little bit before and passing numbers weren't as inflated as they are nowadays.
It's true.
So the numbers aren't exactly there. John Lynch, Steve Hutchinson, Tony Boselli, Alan Fonseca.
Yeah, I mean, when you got guys like Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, Ray Lewis up there in there, I mean, how do you compete? You know what I mean?
I would have liked to see John Lynch go over Brian Dawkins, probably.
I would agree with that one.
He changed the league more. He invented that Tampa 2.
Well, mm-hmm. Dawkins was, he was the gel of that of the Eagles, you know, when he was on the field. He took charge. So, you know, but John Lynch.
You could say the same thing about John Lynch and the Bucks. Just they won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I suppose. Got a good point. So hopefully both of them will get in eventually.
And then Tony Boselli, greatest Jacksonville player ever, maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, there's been some good players on Jacksonville, but, I mean, think about the guards he played with. He played with Ogden. He played with Walter Jones. He played with Orlando Pace. And he was first-team All-Pro 3 times. Went to the Pro Bowl pretty much every single year. Call him one of the better tackles of all time.
Yeah, so he'll probably get in eventually, too. But, yeah, it was bad that he got snubbed this time around. Now, hopefully, we'll have a good Hall of Fame game, and hopefully, you know, we have some good presentation there. We can talk about who gets in.
Hopefully the Hall of Fame game even happens.
Yeah.
I would like to see the line on that if we had one, you know.
There probably is somewhere out there.
Does the game even happen?
Yes. The NFL props are actually already out, and we have some categories to go over. Do you want to start with this, Jordan? You want me to go over the categories? You know, it's up to you. I guess you probably have the actual prop numbers there, the odds. So you might as well go over some of these so we can, you know, talk about them.
Let's go down and I'll say the category and you guys tell me who you think's going to win it.
Sure.
MVP futures. Who will be the NFL MVP for the season 2018?
Rodgers.
Rodgers is the favorite at plus 525, followed by Tom Brady at 550. Breeze at 800.
I don't think Tom Brady
again? I mean,
I think they're just doing that because of his reputation.
I agree. I don't think it's going to be him. Aaron Rodgers is coming back from injury, though.
Yeah, that's a
lot of turnover on that team.
I would say the person to look for on that is Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson, if he stays healthy, and I do like that line at plus 1,800, because he was putting up some fantastic numbers before he got injured last time.
I think he's definitely in the running there.
Matt Ryan and Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy G, always good candidates as
Jimmy
well.
Jimmy G, yeah, I love him. He's great.
You know, I'm so excited to see him play this year.
Yeah.
To get a full season under, you know, under center, I think he's got a lot of good things. I think that
the 49ers are going to do well. I think they're going to advance. I mean, they might not get all the way out, but I think that this year they're going to do a lot much better than past seasons.
I agree. No, I totally agree. But if it could be a running back. If Gurley has a year this year like he finished last year, I mean, he's probably a shoo-in for the MVP. And Ezekiel Elliott's not suspended this year.
What about Gronkowski? I mean, he he was dominating before he went down last year.
It's difficult for a tight end to get it, one, same as it's difficult for a receiver to get it, because why would you give it to Gronkowski and not Tom Brady, since Brady's going to have all of Gronk's stats plus.
That's true.
Right? Yeah. That's why it's so hard.
But still, going back to Brady, I don't think, I mean, he's done so much in the past, and, you know, I just don't think that he's there. I haven't heard anything on him. I just think that he's just going to play because he's just has to play. I mean, he's finishing off his career.
I'm going to throw one out there. I like Philip Rivers. MVP.
Yeah. He was in the mix last year, I believe, for MVP as well. What's the line on that? Because that's not a bad pick at all.
Plus 2,500. I really like the weapons around him. He's going to get some of those young receivers back. Keenan Allen's been going off. Delanie Walker might be the best tight end in the league, not named Gronkowski.
Right.
I like that line. I'd like to see it a little bit smaller, but okay.
All right. Now, what else do we have? We have some other categories to go over.
MVP. Offensive Rookie of the Year. You guys were talking about the heavy favorite, Saquon Barkley, earlier.
Yeah. So, Saquon, talking about him, you saw that video of him, right?
Yes. I watched. After this video I saw of him training with the Giants, I also went in and sort of relive some of his college days. This guy was crazy good.
He was good.
He was tearing apart. I mean, in the Rose Bowl, didn't he? Was he in the Rose Bowl? Was it? Yeah, when he scored the end-to-end touchdown. I mean, this guy's
just
strong.
So fast and so strong and so dedicated. And yeah, I think he has to be the favorite there. That's at plus 125.
I mean, most of these guys on the list, I mean, it's even questionable that they're even going to get reps.
Exactly. I mean, like, Sam Darnold is a guaranteed starter, it looks like. So Sam Darnold at plus 1600. Josh Allen should start.
How about Josh Rosen? Is he on there? Because if he gets to play in Arizona, then he's good.
Josh Rosen should play. He's at plus 900, and I could see that. I definitely can. Allen's gonna have a bumpy time. You mentioned Sonny Mitchell. That's a back by committee in New England, so I don't really see it.
Okay, so we're basically probably in agreement. Saquon Barkley's taking this as long as he stays healthy.
I would agree.
Yeah, I agree.
For sure.
You don't draft him number two overall and not use him as a major part of that offense.
What do we got for a defensive rookie of the year, though?
Defensive rookie of the year, favorite being Bradley Chubb.
Of course.
Roquan Smith's up there, and
Derwin James, the Chargers.
He's at plus 1,200.
Yeah, we were talking about Philip Rivers. So, yeah, I think Bradley Chubb's probably, I mean, the favorite, isn't he?
Yeah,
definitely at plus 375. Denzel Ward at plus 1,100. I only bring that up because, remember, the Browns decided to take Ward over Bradley Chubb there with the fourth pick.
That's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was
questionable. That was a questionable decision, especially with the first and fourth pick in the draft, and you chose to do that. We'll see if it works out for him.
We'll see who puts up the stats. Vita Vea would be a good pick there. Terrell Edmonds is going to be a good linebacker. Micah Fitzpatrick in Miami at safety. He might do really good things beside Rashad Jones anchoring that defense.
We'll see what happens.
It is Miami.
All right, now we're on to our next little category we're going to discuss in the NFL props for the coming season.
Defensive MVP. Favorite being J.J. Watt, followed by Joey Bosa, Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, Von Miller, Jalen Ramsey, Luke Kuechly, Cameron Jordan, DeMarcus Lawrence, Myles Garrett, Bobby Wagner, Calais Campbell, and Chandler Jones.
J.J. Watt.
That's if he stays healthy. I mean, he's coming off of injury.
He's always coming off of injury. He just strings them together. One of these years, J.J. Watt is going to stay healthy the entire year. And so is, who's their other defensive end there for the Texans?
I'm not completely sure on that one. I'm not a huge Texans fan like you.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you as you jog your memory banks that Khalil Mack in Oakland is a beast that may be considered near the end of the
Clowney. Jadeveon Clowney.
Oh, yeah.
The other first round pick.
The guy from South Carolina, right?
Yeah, and Watt and Clowney have never been healthy at the same time together. And when they do, and they're both MVP possibles, one year we're going to get both of them healthy before Watt retires.
I like Von Miller in this one. To be honest. Yeah. I mean, as long as J.J. Watt, if he stays healthy. But if he doesn't, I think Von Miller might take that.
I think it helps Von Miller that he's going to be opposite Bradley Chubb now. When he had those MVP seasons before, he was opposite DeMarcus Ware. And it's going to help Chubb that he's going to be opposite Von Miller. For sure. We might get a defensive player of the year and a...
Rookie defensive player of the year and regular defensive player.
Exactly.
Of the year. That'd be huge.
That would be huge.
This is a good year we're getting into with the rookies. There's some real red hot rookies.
Yeah, I'd say this is one of the most exciting draft classes in recent history.
Not just quarterbacks, defensive players.
Running backs.
This
is an overall great draft class.
Should be good. I'm excited. Okay. Jalen Ramsey's another good pick there. He was lights out at the end of last year.
Huge in Jacksonville. Huge.
All righty, now we're going to go over the, I guess we have some props on the most passing yards, most rushing yards, most receiving yards. We can go through that real quick.
Let's go through it real quick. Who do you guys think is going to have the most passing yards this year?
Aaron Rodgers, if he stays healthy.
Yep.
Yeah.
I am in agreement with that.
All of you say Aaron Rodgers. I say Phillip Rivers.
Really? Yeah. Oh, you're on the Rivers bandwagon.
Rivers or Matt Ryan. I like the lines better, too.
What's the line on Rivers?
Line on Rivers is at plus 850. Brady's plus 400. Breeze is plus 500. Rodgers plus 1,000. So he's actually favored over Rodgers right now for passing.
Wow. So Brady's actually doing better than those three.
Right. I'm surprised you didn't say Matt Stafford.
Matt Stafford, he's great, and he's done it a couple of years, but I mean, he has a couple of weapons around him, but the Detroit Lions, you can't really trust him. And Matt Stafford, as hard as he works, sometimes he works too hard. I know it's...
Are they going to have a running game this year?
Questionable. It's always... Detroit Lions and a running game is always questionable. After Barry Sanders, it's just kind of been a downhill struggle for them.
It's kind of like the Dolphins and... Everything. Dan Marino.
Yeah. I mean, they do have... The Lions did pick up LeGarrette Blount.
They did.
So, I mean, it is looking up for them, but, you know, we'll see how well it goes for them. They haven't really had much success in the running game.
And Andrew Luck's back, too. Nobody's talking about that.
That's true.
I forgot about Andrew Luck, to be honest. I forgot about plus 3,300.
I mean, yeah, I don't see them having much of a running game. All right, most receiving yards. Who do you guys got?
Antonio Brown,
probably. He's the favorite at plus 225. Who else?
Julio Jones, maybe.
Julio Jones is second, followed by DeAndre Hopkins, Odell Beckham Jr., Keenan Allen, Michael Thomas. Goes on from there.
I think Odell might have another breakout year, Antonio Brown or Juju Smith-Schuster. He's probably not on that list, but I think Juju's going to do pretty well.
I think he'll do pretty well. I don't think he'll beat Antonio Brown. I think it might be Mike Evans just because of the target share in that offense. He gets way more balls thrown to him, like a higher percentage than any of these other big wide receivers.
Hmm. Pittsburgh's looking good when you look at
that. I like the receiving core.
Yes, very good.
I really like the receiving core.
This leads us to the next, most rushing yards.
I think probably your guy.
What about the Saints? I mean, when Ingram comes back, obviously, from his suspension, I think they might have a good tandem right there.
Oh, that might be the best running back tandem. Kamara looked good last year.
Oh, God, he's tearing him up.
He was. Kamara, that's a good pick. Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, Leonard Fournette. You know they're just going to be running it down in Jacksonville.
That's all they got in Jacksonville.
Dalvin Cook is back, and he was all on a tear before he got injured last year. And Saquon Barkley, of course.
Right. I don't know if he'll be up there with these guys, but probably have a big year. That's pretty much it for the props, correct? I believe, yes, okay. So get in on those props if you can, because there's some good stuff there. Now let's get into another guy in the NFL who's in Seattle, Earl Thomas. Now, Brian, you have the news on Earl.
Earl Thomas, I don't know if you guys read, but he kind of wrote his own little article on the PlayersTribune.com there. He wants either in or he wants out. If he's in, he wants Seattle to commit and pay him the money that he deserves, because he's been a leading defensive player for years and years, and he's done so much for that city. If not, he wants him to let him go. See you later, you know, let's part ways, leave on good terms, let me go give my all to another team and finish my career strong. That's pretty much where he's at. You know, he just wants assurance from the Seahawks, just so he knows if he gets hurt, He'll be taken care of.
I feel like Seattle is just, there's something going on with Seattle. They're not aware that they're in rebuild mode. I'm not sure if they're recognizing that.
Defensive rebuild
mode. Yeah, definitely. You know, and I feel like this just, they're not going to do anything this season. And whether they're aware or not, they're kind of putting down Earl Thomas by what his article stated. You know, he's still young. He's what, like we said he was like 29. You know, he's still got a good few years left. Yeah, and some other team can pick him up, you know, and they can do well with him.
I like going to Dallas.
You think he's going to Dallas? Will it happen? Can they make it happen?
I think that's the best possibility. Dallas has the cap room to pay him. Dallas likes him. Ever since they lost Church, they could really use the help.
Dallas, I would love to see Dallas again, even go to the Super Bowl. I always enjoy watching, you know, America's team, quote unquote, right. You know, doing something over there. It's been a while since we've seen the Cowboys do anything.
And they got that fabulous stadium too, huh?
It's nice.
Yeah. So they, it will be interesting to see if they come through this year. Now let's get Brian. You had news also on the NBA and MGM getting together.
Yeah, MGA Resorts signed an exclusive official gaming partner of the NBA and the WNBA.
Oh, that's big.
Yeah,
that's a big add-on.
That's as huge as women's golf,
right? Yeah. Yes.
But they pegged the deal for about 3 years, at least $25 million, league sources say. also, the most lucrative opportunities figure to come in 3 to 5 years when, you know, it's projected that almost 20 states will have this new law actually in place and concrete into their systems.
So, Brian, what does this mean? What is, you know, break it down for me. I mean, so now the NBA is going to be, you know, get together with the sports book over at MGM, and they're going to
hasn't happened, especially in Vegas, is that you haven't been able to use like a team logo next to your lines or stuff. Now MGM is able to do that with this new deal. They'll be able to use actually the team logos, player names, all that type of stuff now. So it kind of adds a different element into the sports betting world. But the thing is that MGM will now get all the information that the NBA has. All the information that goes into creating the lines will come straight from the NBA now, only to MGM.
And imagine the live betting possibilities of having a live feed of stats like that coming straight from the NBA.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it says that last year alone, $1.5 billion was bet on basketball in Nevada sportsbooks, and that's NCAA and NBA. They're projecting that about 40 to 50% of that was the NBA. So this is a huge deal. This is the first professional sports league to actually sign a deal like this, so we'll see what happens in the coming months. Maybe the NFL signs something. Maybe the PGA gets something going. I know the PGA really wants to get something going. So we'll see.
All right. So we'll be looking at that, because that's certainly big news. There's no doubt about that. Now, also sort of NBA related, we have LeBron's I Promise School, which he's setting up in Ohio in Akron, right?
It actually opened. Its first day was Monday.
I think that's pretty cool. You know, I'm not the biggest LeBron fan in the world. You know, I love my Lakers, and I like the fact that he went to the Lakers and everything. And hopefully, we can go far. But I got to give him props, right? You gotta give him props. This is going to go to kids that are in high risk, right? High risk of
High risk kids in the Akron, Ohio area. You know, they're all getting free tuition, free uniforms. They all get a brand new bike and a helmet. They have GED programs for the parents, meal programs for families that are in need.
Even transportation for these kids, right?
Yeah, they'll get free transportation if within a 2 mile radius of the school. And also, which is, I think is huge, if you graduate from this school, you get free tuition at Akron College.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's really awesome. And I think that the number of kids is just under 300. I think there's like 285 kids there. So it's not just like, you know, helping, you know, 50, 20 kids, something like that.
No, he's really making a difference. He's really, I mean, that's what he's wanted to do this whole time. I mean, you look at LeBron, he's a stand-up guy. I mean, if you really look at it, he's never been in the media. He's never, you know, messed
he's
around on his
in the media.
I mean, bad. Yeah, he's
bad. That kind of threw me for a sec.
Bad media. You never hear him doing stupid stuff, getting arrested. You never hear him cheating on his wife. He has, you know, he's been with his high school sweetheart from day one.
That just means he's got a great PR person.
Yeah.
There's that, but...
But yeah, you're, I get you. You know, I just don't like him as personally. I don't know.
I'm not a huge LeBron fan either, but I have to give respect where respect is earned.
He's a good ambassador for the sport. For sure. He always has been. Probably even better than Michael Jordan.
Tiger Woods. Well, that's a different story there.
No, Tiger Woods watched too. I think 100% he's better than Michael. I agree with you 100%.
With the gambling and all the other issues.
Yeah, the gambling is arguably what happened with his dad. I mean, I think we all know that story. Yeah. I mean, you can choose to believe what side you want to believe, but...
It still came out in the news, whatever you believe.
Exactly, you know? Right.
And there's been no controversy surrounding LeBron James in a negative light. Other than, oh, he left this team to go to another team.
Right. That's just part of his legacy at this point.
Exactly, yeah. And that's great.
Yeah.
So ultimately, these kids are going to be benefited, and I think that's fantastic. I mean,
how many players do you see making a difference like this? I mean, yeah, they donate to charity here and here, but he actually
How many players are worth $1 billion?
Right. And there's a lot of stuff. You know, there's a lot of players that actually do good stuff, but they're not as narcissist as he is, and they don't want... I mean, that's true. I mean, it's like the whole Oprah effect, right? Oh, here's money. I'm going to help people. But make sure everybody knows who I am. Make sure I'm the one that's saving everyone, right? So there are a lot of players that do a lot of good stuff. We just don't hear about it, right? So I don't know.
Yeah, like, why doesn't Ryan Leaf have a school? Okay, now, let's go to the NBA power rankings have come out since the trade, and the Warriors are number one. Since there's, you know,
of course,
there's
been no surprise.
I would have never guessed that the Warriors would be number one.
No, me neither. Until I read it here. Until I read it, I couldn't believe it. The Celtics... Number two, 76ers at three, Raptors at four, and Rockets at five. How about that?
I can't believe the East
is... That's interesting.
I can't believe the East is holding most of those spots in the top five there.
Look, we knew this was going to happen eventually because the West has been so much stronger for so long. You can't give the East all of the top draft picks for years and years and years and not have them come back.
I feel like the Rockets should be higher up on that list.
Good point.
Yeah, the Raptors are higher, so...
I feel like the Rockets slipped this season.
Wait, did the Raptors go higher once they got Kawhi, though?
Yeah, this is the CBS Power Rankings, and these ones came out just the other day after, you know, after...
After Melo went. 10. I mean, I would not have put Lakers under the Pelicans, Jazz, Spurs, or Thunder, for
I would
that
agree
matter.
With that. Right. I would agree with that 100%.
Yeah, I think the Lakers were like 25th the last year or something on the power rankings.
And they made a huge jump regardless.
The Lakers truthfully should have been at least number six.
That's what I was thinking.
You know, I don't know. It's just, it is what it
is. I would put the Jazz over the Spurs, but I think the Jazz are a little bit better than the Lakers, to be honest. I would put the Lakers at seven, Jazz at six.
I can see that.
Yep. Okay, good observation. Major League Baseball, we have that going on, of course, and we have... The few big trades. I mean, is anyone left in the Baltimore Orioles?
What's going on over there, right?
I know.
I mean,
it kind of seems like they're just throwing away players at this point.
They even tried to trade a couple guys that have no trade clauses. I mean, I don't know.
What are they doing?
I'm not sure.
Sabotage. Sabotaging the Orioles.
But it's done. Trade deadline. Over.
Right. Okay, right. So we don't have to worry about them.
Speaking of trade deadline, I mean, let's look at the West, right? And okay, so let's look at the Rockies. My God, what the hell happened to the Rockies? I mean, they've waited so long to trade that they just out-timed us. I mean, they weren't able to get anybody. You know, they're just not worried about it. When you look at who they're in, let's look at the National League West. Let's look at the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks, they're doing fantastic. Yeah. They got great people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget that the Dodgers got Manny Machado. They got a few others, right?
Yep.
You know, so, you know, the National League West is doing fantastic. I mean, everyone's doing something, but the Colorado Rockies are just out there just twiddling their thumbs, you know? What's going on with that?
Yeah. I could you say the same about Detroit? Did they do anything at the trade deadline?
I haven't been following Detroit too much, but I didn't hear anything major.
So I think back to Colorado, I mean, I can't remember what they've done since Larry Walker was there, and that was 10, 15, well, I don't know, I only know because he's Canadian, and he's always on the news there, but Canadian teams, the Blue Jays, Roberto Osuna gets traded to the Astros. Thank you. I forgot for a second.
Some moves there, huh?
But I don't understand it. I mean, the guy's still on suspension. I think he's off suspension coming up this Sunday or something. 75-game suspension for beating his wife. I mean, it was proven that he's still got a court date in September. That's what Dave was saying. Houston has like a strict no tolerance for that stuff. And they're like, yeah, come on over. You know, Sunday when you're off suspension, we'll kick you on the team.
Well, hopefully he learned his lesson, right? 75 games is a long time.
It is a long time.
It's half a season at least, right?
I'm sure they vetted
almost. How many games they play?
160 games in a season.
It's not even half a season.
Yeah, he's a good pitcher. Closer, right? But they got rid of Ken,
they gave up a lot
Ken Giles and a couple of minor league, all right-handed pitchers. So three right-handed pitchers.
So the Astros are strong. I see the Astros going far. Like I said, we mentioned this before. Like, we're now towards the middle of the season. I feel like the Astros are going to go far. I feel like the
Astros actually went backwards. Last year they made the trades. they made trades that actually made their team better. I feel like they lost on this trade. I feel like they didn't really do much, to be honest. I mean, I don't think they'll fall anywhere in the rankings. I don't think they'll do any worse than they're doing now. But I think the year's coming. I think they're kind of on a downward spiral if they keep making trades like that.
Okay, well, you bring up a good point. Who do you think won?
Pittsburgh Pirates. They've been doing great recently. They brought in some big pieces.
It's not often that you see a win-win trade. And that's what you saw with the Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh trade there.
Right.
They both came out on the winning side. Chris Archer from Tampa Bay went to Pittsburgh. The Bucks received Austin Meadows, right-handed pitcher Tyler Glasnow, and a player to be named later.
A player to be named later.
Yeah, they do that a lot in the NHL.
Do they?
Yeah, they do that a lot. So, I mean, yeah, you're right, though. How do they decipher, though,
which player that is? Because would Pittsburgh go to Tampa Bay and be like, we want that guy? No. Or do they just have to say yes?
No, they don't have to say yes. In hockey, it's just the fact that they're close to deadline. They don't have time to get all the paperwork in and do it through the... In hockey, anyway. So they usually...
Throw something in there.
Yeah, it's usually nothing big. Mm-hmm. It's usually a fringe player or a draft pick. So
got it.
It's not like you're trading your friend Cindy Crosby for a trade deadline.
Cindy?
Yeah, I like that. I just always call her Crybaby Crosby. That's all I call him.
Really?
The Yankees made out, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yes, as usual. This team is looking good for the next couple of years. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately,
the cupboards again.
They made out with Hap from,
the Blue Jays.
Yeah, and then they made out with Britton from the Oilers, you know.
The Oilers? Orioles.
Orioles.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
tongue twister.
So, I mean, it's really about like five or six teams, both, you know, three the on, the, on the on the National League and the other three on the American League.
Your Dodgers are...
What about the Mariners? I thought they did pretty well as well.
Yeah. Again, National League West, you know, so they're doing fine. I think that it's all the rest in the middle is just sitting there, just occupying space.
Yep, treading water. Yeah. Okay, let's get to the Big Ten. We said we're going to talk to you about it.
So excited for this topic.
Yeah, that's your favorite division, right?
Oh yeah, the Big Ten. It's a lot of people's favorite division. Our favorite conference.
Yeah, people from Michigan.
People from all over. It's the toughest conference in
said the Michigan the State fan yeah. over here. Michigan
well, I guess
State
Brian fan. And Jordan could start this, and John can pipe in too, because you guys have been arguing about the SEC and the Big Ten.
Big Ten wins it every day.
Yeah, for a while. So now it's your chance to
because the SEC had both teams in the national championship last year.
Right.
No, let's just be clear. The last two seasons, the Big Ten has been snubbed. Out of the playoffs. Been snubbed. 100%.
Snubbed.
Yeah, the winner of the Big Ten has not gone to the playoff. I don't know how that is even possible.
I know. It happens to a lot of the weaker divisions.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh! Ouch.
Oh, Jesus.
This
is coming from a Texas A&M fan. All right, the last time
what do you do?
That Texas A&M has ever done anything.
Well, while you're at Texas A&M, we forgot to mention Johnny Manziel.
We did forget to mention Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, we did hit on
did
him.
Did we
real
forget
quick.
To mention Johnny Manziel?
Well, you didn't want to mention him.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's going on with Johnny Football?
He'll be starting.
Yep. He's going to be starting tomorrow night.
First game, right?
Yes. Yeah. Against, that's Well, the guy spent like a couple of months training in Hamilton, and his first game is the rivalry game because he's playing against his old team. They're Montreal Hamilton.
That'll be interesting.
I think he'll do good. He's a.
I might actually tune in for that.
I might tune in for that too, and I bet that's going to do great things for their ratings too.
And a Friday night game, you know, CFL Friday. Just remember, there's three downs, right? So don't get excited.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, there's only three downs.
Yeah.
Three down.
What kind of football is this?
This is Canadian.
Why do Canadians always got to mess everything up?
All right, back to the program.
All right,
let's get back to the USA.
Number one, Ohio State. Has to be.
I would argue with that, especially with what happened the other day or yesterday with Urban Meyer.
Do you think that's really going to affect the talent and recruits they have on that
100%.
Team?
100%. Well, why do they have those talented recruits? Let's just go ahead there. Ohio State is... you know, known for this. One, they got in that trouble a couple years back of paying their players or giving them incentives. Now, I mean, the GPA that you need to get into Ohio State is probably like a 2.0. So they get all the good players.
He's talking a lot about these guys.
Oh, I hate Ohio State with a burning passion. Burning passion. I would be so happy if that whole program just burned to the ground.
Those 2.0 farmers over there, right?
Okay, but how about Nick Bosa? Okay, leading that defense. They're going to have one of the better defenses they've had in years. The offense looks good. I have them ranked number one. Who do you have number one?
I would say Ohio State's up there. Wisconsin's definitely going to do good.
Wisconsin at two.
Yeah, I wouldn't put... Yeah, Wisconsin, I'd say, in Ohio State will battle it out. But the thing is, they're in two totally different sides of the Big Ten. I don't even know if they play each other this season. Obviously, if it does come down to it, you'll see them in the championship.
And that would be a good championship.
But honestly, I think the Buckeyes, who they really need to worry about, is two teams. They need to worry about Penn State, and they need to worry about Michigan State.
I had Penn State at three, so very nice. And I had Michigan State at four.
Right. I mean, Penn State coming off an amazing season. Michigan State has 21 returning starters on their roster, plus a seasoned Brian Lewerke, who's at quarterback there, who's looking to do big things. I mean, they're even talking about a couple trophies for him this year. We'll see, though.
What about Shea Patterson? Now, he was with Ole Miss, and now he's going to be with Michigan. Now, this guy's good.
Michigan is highly overrated.
You think so?
They've been overrated for the past 3 years.
Said the Michigan State fan.
Right.
Anyone will tell you that. Even Michigan fans will tell you they're overrated. Yeah, and Michigan's fans suck. Michigan fans are horrible.
What does that mean?
Wow.
Have you ever talked to a Michigan fan? You'll know.
All right, so Michigan.
Right, wow, you're getting angry.
You're going to
pick up the table and that's it. Knock it over.
Yeah, bad blood between Michigan and Michigan State.
Apparently,
definitely.
Ever since that punt block a couple years back, it's just been nothing but hostile.
Yeah, I think Michigan State at four, Michigan at five, those could really go either way.
Brian, you're a little hostile, man.
Do we have any Heisman Trophy winners in the Big Ten? Or not winners, but nominees?
Prospects.
That's what we were talking about before. Brian seems to think that the Big Ten has the best quarterbacks in all of college football.
Yes, but I also don't think any of them are going to win a Heisman.
Except none of them are going to win a Heisman.
Right.
Right.
But I think if you break it down, you take all the quarterbacks and put them against, you know, the other conferences, you'll see that the Big Ten might have the best. Just do your own research. I encourage you to do your own research, buddy.
Sounds good. So,
you think the Heisman's going to a quarterback?
Yeah, I think so this year. There's some really good prospects. You know that? I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know either.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
I think it's just too
early.
The guy is not coming out of the Big Ten.
Yeah, I'm not ready to make a call there yet, but it's not coming out of the Big Ten, that's for sure.
Okay,
so after the Michigans, we've got Northwestern, Iowa, Nebraska, Purdue, Indiana, and Minnesota. You got any problems with
Illinois
there?
Oh, Illinois is on the other side.
Indiana last year had a few upsets under their belt. And so did Iowa, actually. Iowa did pretty well last year, too.
They did.
But we'll see. I mean, I would agree with your rankings there, to be honest. Ohio State could go either way. And that's probably just because of my bias and my pure hatred for them.
Right.
Sure.
But, you know, I would agree with your rankings for sure.
Okay, I see one of the top two or three schools here going to the final.
Yeah.
It's 100%. Not going to be SEC against SEC again. This year we'll probably know because it's going to be Big Ten against SEC. I don't think the Big 12 will make it this year. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I agree. 100% agree. I think Michigan State is definitely making a look to go to their second playoff.
And Wisconsin's coming out of the West. We in agreement on that?
Yeah, yeah. I would. Yeah, 100%.
Okay, and Illinois with Lovie Smith. Remember, wasn't he in Chicago? Lovie Smith?
Yep. Yeah. I like him.
He's going to get fired, probably. Huh?
Yeah, I can see that.
The team is horrible.
For whatever reason, pro coaches and college coaches, they don't mix very well. We saw that with Nick Saban.
Either way they go.
Either way. Right. Nick Saban, terrible on the Dolphins. Great on LSU, great on Alabama, because these are recruiting coaches.
So what about Jim Harbaugh?
Right, I was actually going to say that. This guy did well with the 49ers. He was... They had a good run with him.
He's got a question.
He moves over to do college, and
like, he's done fairly well. I mean, he has to be one of the exceptions.
Average.
He's actually a really good coach. Actually,
he is. He's a very good coach.
He's very passionate, which is what I like about him. He's a very passionate coach, and he actually runs his team with his heart. But he just hasn't gotten it done with Michigan. I mean, they haven't won against a rival in how many years?
Yeah, they haven't.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it was a mistake for them to, you know.
It's maybe, money. It was about money. For
it him. It was about money, you know, and it was a loss for the 49ers. But okay. Anyways,
alrighty. Okay, so next week are we going to go over the Pac-12, or what do you got in your bag of tricks for next week?
College football bag
of tricks.
I think that's to be discussed.
Yeah, we'll discuss that. We'll go over somebody in the Mountain West, maybe.
Something like that. Conference USA.
There you go.
Okay, so once again, remember to check out the game tonight. It's going to be the Hall of Fame game, and we will talk about that next week, along with some other NFL stories, NBA, MLB. And some college as well. Thanks again for joining us on OOBG Radio.
You've been listening to OOBG Radio, the leading destination for the best sports and betting analysis podcast. Check in each week for more on sports news and forecasting. Don't forget to check us out on your favorite social media website and on OOBG.com.